This is the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. Acta non verba.
Welcome to another Barbarian Banter on the BR Podcast with myself, Jimmy G, and CJ.
What's going on?
It's a beautiful evening. A little bit dark out, snowing on and off all day.
No snow here.
No snow? Yeah.
We got some a couple days ago.
Ours?
Friday.
Friday? It's been snowing in the evenings or at night, and then by midday, it all melts off.
I was going to say, ours melts a little bit, and then at night, it freezes, so it's getting really annoying.
Annoying?
So it's a skating rink, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, well, let's see. Oh, mind blank. Triumph and Blunder. There we go. What do we got for this week? I was trying to think up some good stuff. I have a good blunder. Well, it's not a good blunder. It's been a very painful blunder. Moving pallets around, tweaked the back, and I got a nice sharp pain.
So
lifting's been fun. And it's funny because it only does it when I start to bend over. It like just start and it's like, ooh, pinchner. And then it's like, okay, get in position, work out. Now I'm fine. And then it's like, yeah, all right. So that was my blunder. Tweaking that. I was trying to think of a good triumph this week. I don't know. Got some good walks in. Even with a little bit of snow in between. Got rained on once, but it was nice getting out and walking. That was probably my biggest triumph. Stay moving.
And then we got I was going to say, I had quite a few PRs at the gym because I actually finally started recording what I do at every workout. So
nice.
Are there all still ball shots?
Yeah, totally. I record every single one right to my nuts.
People listening will not have this, but we'll have to share that CJ's like, man, look at me good on this, and all it is his balls hanging out of his shorts, and it's like,
they look nice. I started using coconut oil on them.
Makes them keep nice, them nice and soft. Yeah. Supple.
If you smell coconut when I walk by, you know why. Jesus.
Are you tanning them too?
No.
They're got a hot
nice
lamp?
And glossy.
Just glossy? Waxed hot and glossy. Lamp.
I just got this. I just get this image of, you know, those heat lamps in restaurants that's warming the food. CJ has one mounted like on a stool or a chair or something. Oh, jeez.
Roasted coconuts.
He's got his hoodie on. Shorts around his ankles.
Always.
With the hot lamp. Oh, God.
It's going to be a fun one.
If that picture ever shows up.
That's a good thing. What's the bad thing?
Bad thing.
Blunder.
The diet was terrible. The in-laws were in for the, like, 3 days. So, yeah, pretty much ate out every single day. Yeah. It's all been out of whack, but that's to be expected.
Yeah. For me, there's a blunder. It's like, it's not anything I necessarily did, but just having, at work, there's a 2 day planning session for the next 3 months. And so like, it's literally 2 days of meeting, like one long meeting for 2 days straight. So
pre.
No, this is post. Just meeting.
Oh, just meeting? Not just even meeting. Pre-post and
no, during? But leading up to it. Monday was a day of meetings to prepare for the, but it's one of these things where normally they do it in person and normally there's a bunch of different teams, like eight different teams of people meeting upwards of 100 or so people all in one room trying to plan out the next 3 months of work. Each team's responsible for their own work. And then as a group, we make sure that nobody's tripping over each other or, you know, we're not doing something that you're going to screw up later kind of thing. But it's and normally we do that in person, but it's made twice as difficult having to do it virtually, because there is one meeting with everybody and then there's meetings with your team, and then you have to jump back to, anyway, it's just a grueling 2 days of crap.
Just hearing all, about it sounds terrible.
Yeah, all for a good purpose, but it's just crap. Or it sucks going through it. On the Triumph side, I took my daughters to Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Took them to a place to check it out. One of my buddies takes his kids there, and they've been going for a little while now, and so thought it'd be good to check it out. So which reminds me, I need to email them about signing the girls up, but they were super stoked about doing it. They couldn't shut up about it on the way home. Even taught the neighbor kids a couple of the sweeps that they learned. Nice. So
it's badass.
Yeah. So
are they online picking out their new gis and outfits and everything?
No, not yet, but I think we're going to start going to the nights where that it's not required to start anyway.
Make sure they really like it.
Yeah. Before we really start investing money. But they were sore as hell the next couple days, which is funny. Like, and they were complaining. It's like, oh, my legs hurt, or you know, whatever. It's like, yeah, well.
Now you know how I feel all the time.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. And so it was cool in that regard. All the way around, it was a good experience. So
good.
It was a good win.
Awesome.
Some good stuff. Well, we're all having
dive
fun.
Into them?
Oh, let's dive into them.
All right. First one. Who would win? Caesar versus Alexander the Great.
Great. Everyone's thinking.
I know Nathan's got something to say about this one.
I do. I can start it all. I mean, they're both awesome. So,
yeah, because there's a couple layers. Like, does that assume they had the forces they had or equal forces?
Let's go with forces they had at their prime, top of the
Alexander thing. Overreached Caesar, I'm pretty sure.
What, Alexander?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't overreach. He ended up getting,
he conquered so much land that he didn't have control of all of it. So I would give it to Caesar.
Well, but Alexander died really young. That's why he ended up, it all fell apart, is because of all of that.
Because he died?
Well, in his 20s, if he had lived to an older age, I think he'd have held it all together.
That's what I'm saying. I see where you're going with that now. Okay.
Yeah. You know, he was still consolidating and getting control of everything, and then, you know, boom, gone. So,
but of the two, he was more of the, was he the more?
He was more of a tactician. I would give him, just with his training and knowledge wise, I think Caesar was more of an inspiration. And
he was more of a politician in the best sense of that, like not
right.
Alexander was more of a logistics
and tactician. Caesar knew how to count on people. This guy can do this job. I don't need to know how to do it. That's how I view it. So I think forces versus forces, I think Alexander would win.
Hmm.
I got to see the armies before I choose one.
Rome was superior, though, right? So Rome won.
Wait, who took out Alexander? I don't even remember.
No. I gotta look it up or I'll mix up. Yeah. It's been too long of a day for me just to go.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, and who wants to get roasted in the comments for quoting something wrong?
Yeah, it's debate. Died at the age of 32.
In his 20s. All your facts are wrong.
I thought he died in his late 20s, but no. Hey, or Wiki's wrong. You never know.
Usually.
Oh, I mean, wow. The first one says alcohol liver disease.
I can see that.
Typhoid fever. There we go. He got basically the malaria of that age, or typhoid. He ended up getting sick.
Of the two, I'd put my money on Caesar.
I got to go with Alexander.
So he is Alexander the Great.
Yeah. He was just Caesar. I mean, he didn't even get a fucking nickname, pussy.
Yeah, that's because that's really...
That's all that matters.
That matters. How you're remembered in history. Yeah.
Because, I mean, like I said, going with Caesar in a lot of ways, too. Like, Rome beat the crap out of
Greece. They beat the crap out of a lot of people, and then the barbarians showed up and took them over from within. So... Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We good on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we go down any rabbit holes.
All right. This one's good. Is suffering a necessary part of the human condition? What would people who never suffer be like?
Worthless.
Insufferable is what comes to mind.
That's even more fitting than worthless.
They would be insufferable. But yeah, I think it is part of the human condition.
You don't learn anything if you don't have some suffering. If you don't have any mistakes, how do you learn? You know, a lot of knowledge and wisdom comes from living through stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most men, that's how we learn. We got to learn the hard way, and that's by suffering. I mean, there's some people that you can read all the books you want. You can take all the knowledge from there, but unless you actually apply it and fail a couple of times, you're still not going to learn, truthfully.
Well, and you're not going to get stronger, smarter, faster, anything unless you, you know, put effort in and fail occasionally. So,
yeah, and I think it ties back to, was it the last? We talked a little bit about this on the last podcast too. It's part of that feeds into the whole idea of happiness, and it's okay to not be not happy, right? Like, it's okay to suffer. It sucks. Like, rare is it fun, right? But, or, you know, is it in the moment a positive thing to experience? But, you know, from the ashes, the Phoenix thing is kind of a tired analogy, but, you know, you don't have that without.
Well, and there's good suffering. You know, it's you put yourself in a hard circumstance to see if you can make it through. Simple as, like, the first time you go through an obstacle course, you're probably not going to do it well, but it can be a lot of fun, but you're suffering through it, trying to get through the thing or whatever. So not all suffering's just beat you up, destroy you. Some suffering, you know, especially self-imposed. I think you can put yourself in circumstances to learn.
I was going to say the hardest thing is actually accepting the suffering, you know? Not trying to fight against it and, like, accepting, like, the situation. That's the hardest part to get past, because, you know, if you're suffering, your mindset might go to shit. And if you actually accept it and take it as a challenge, that'll change your whole concept of life in that situation.
I
like that.
It's interesting. It's certainly a mindset thing to be able to sort of accept it accept what is as it is, but how often do we fight against it?
Oh, all the time.
When just thinking out loud, so like when going with it would just be that much easier. Like there'd be that, in some ways there'd be a lot less friction. It would still be suffering. It would still be a challenge. It would still be difficult because you'd have to overcome whatever it is, whatever situation it is. But how often do we try and stand and rail against it? Like, no, this isn't happening. Not in a denial, like a, this isn't happening at all. Like it's like you tell your, you lie to yourself that, oh, this isn't happening. Or you
trying
convince
to comfort yourself.
Yeah, but it's more like, no, you're not going to do this to me, or you're not going to, I want to keep my job. I want to, or whatever it is, like you, God, why is this happening to, or whatever it is that you scream out to, just to kind of say, no, it's not, this can't be happening right now kind of thing. And then you start looking for external, oh, it's because of these people or that person or this thing or yeah. But if you just kind of went with it, in some ways, if you just go down with the river, then you're just tubing down the river,
right? You're just floating along with it and you're suffering and not learning anything.
But you know, there's a way to actively, like, it's how like often do we just try and, my thought, the thinking I had is like, it's like all of a sudden, it's not just that you're, you know, standing, you know, firm against the wind or the rushing water kind of thing. It's more you're pissed off and angry that it's happening. Whereas if you just kind of lost that part of it and go, look, we are where we are. I got to do what I need to do to get out of this, or what can I do to get out of this? How can I turn this ship around, kind of thing?
Hmm. Yep. Well, you dig deep. It's the guys that can't dig deep that end up failing. You got to dig deep and see what other reserves you can tap into that you don't normally do.
I was going to say, it kind of comes down to resilience, because like you can let it crush you and you don't gain anything out of that. And that's what a lot of people do. And you won't learn anything after that, because then you just go into the victim mindset. And then why me? Why me? If you accept it for what it is and you just think, all right, how am I going to get through this one?
How will I be stronger when I get through this?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's always going to be like almost impossible in that split second to think of that. But once you gain the awareness and like you kind of understand that, then you can start thinking that way.
That's why you have good friends. Mm-hmm. You know, the good old line, it's easier said than done, but here's the answer. It will get better. Are you sure? Well, you're going to get stronger. The weight stays the same. It's just you get stronger to deal with it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You got through your teenage years. It's all going to be all right.
Well, yeah, Nate and I were talking earlier about this. It's like, it's amazing how everything in high school matters. Like, it's all this drama. It's all like, it's such a big deal. And now you're this far removed from it and you realize almost 99% of that shit mattered. Yeah. But in the moment, it was such a huge thing. Who's dating who and what happened in this class or what TV shows, you name it, doesn't matter. It's like, it's such a big deal. Everything's a big deal. Everything's such a, oh my God. And then it's like,
you got
out here looking back, you're like, holy shit. What? Why did I even give a shit?
Yeah, I had the FOMO so bad in high school. I never wanted to miss out on anything, but I missed out on so much for having that. Isn't that the weirdest thing? Like you're scared of missing out, so you actually miss out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Crazy. Nothing like being a 17-year-old.
Oh, man.
That is suffering. Oh, that is suffering, though.
Most of them should write books.
Oh God.
They know everything, so they might as well write it. Yeah. So much knowledge is missed out by kids not writing books.
Could you imagine if you could read a book that 16-year-old self wrote?
Oh, I'd be laughing so hard. I'd be like, man, who is this dumbass?
He had it all figured out.
It would be complete garbage. Although, I wonder, though, like, how insightful would it be to, like, I don't know. I'd like to think there'd be some insight, not an awareness of myself at that time, but reading it now,
yeah,
from back then, I bet you there'd be a couple things that's really insightful.
I think you'd want to go back this and is really smack yourself, though.
Absolutely. That's for sure. Because I can think of easily a million reasons why to smack myself. But at the same time, because hindsight's 2020, so it's so easy to look back. But, how much stock, how much... And then, I know for us, Nate, your son's a little bit closer to that. My girls are getting close to that. At some point, you'll experience this too, CJ. It's like when you have kids that get that age, it's like, hopefully... I can help navigate that so it's not such a it's because it's high, it's drama, and there's lots of reasons why there's still a thing, like music may change, styles may change, but still the same shit
never changes.
Yeah,
you're dealing with hormones and you're dealing with life and you're dealing with trying to figure all that stuff out. Part of it's who do you want to be and what do you want to do versus your parents? Like you start
feels like the flapping those wings too fast.
Yeah.
You don't even know what fast is yet. I talked to my mentor in his 70s and he's like, yeah, the days just disappear. I'm like, my days go by quick now. Another 30 years down the road, I'm going to be like, crap. What? A whole year went by and I didn't know? It's like,
yeah. Oh, but that brings up an interesting question. Does, as you age, does time doesn't change, obviously, but your perception of it, does it really change? Or is it because and we were kind of talking about this a little bit earlier today, Nate, it seems, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it's certainly, listeners, feel free to call in and provide your feedback or leave a comment below.
Hot Lamparia.
I wish this was actually, they could see this.
We may have to switch to video soon.
Yeah.
Oh.
Thumbs up if you liked it. Thumbs if you loved it. No.
Smash that bell button.
Yeah. That's right. Like, sub, and subscribe.
But, the older you get, it's almost the focus of what matters gets narrowed. And so, the younger you are, there's all this stuff that you think is important and think that matters. And you're taking all of this, stuff in from all corners of the world. But then the older you get, the more you start, over time, does that sort of focus get narrow? So there's a whole world that's passing by you that you don't give a shit about. So that's where time feels like it's sped up because holy land, it's Christmas already. Oh my gosh, it's the 4th of July, but you're focused on certain things, or whether it's, living, in pursuit of your mission, whether you're retired or like whatever it is that like there's things that you're doing that. So does, in that sense, does quote unquote time, the perception of time change because your focus is different or you're focusing on different things than say when we were in high school. Oh my God, it's this big world of everything. and you're trying to keep up with whatever, and there's image, like you said, fear of missing out and some of those things too. Like all of that gets wrapped up in all those things. Interesting. Yep. Maybe. That's a question for another podcast.
Write that one down. All right. What's the best type of cheese?
Munda cheese.
I'm done. Oh.
No, on a serious, Colby Jack. That's my favorite.
I have not heard
Colby Jack that
in so long.
That's why brings I said back, it.
Brings back memories.
Not good ones usually.
I mean, they're actually good, just funny, like or all the good times now. That was mentioned. Yeah, yeah.
It just sounds like an every other dad joke I've ever heard in my life.
Colby Jack, that's
Colby Jack. You're such a basic bitch.
That's my there it is. Colby Jack. Like that for years. So
I was going to say, when I was a kid, I liked the extra sharp cheddar. But now that I'm older, I like the, what is it, Pepper Jack?
Well, Pepper Jack's good. That'd be my number two.
I like it when it's a, because, you know, you ever cut Pepper Jack and it's really soft? I'm not a big fan of that. I like
it needs to be the hard.
Yeah, if it's a little bit more firm, you're eating it like in the block.
And then you get just a little bit of extra pepper.
Mm-hmm.
In that and one hot spot,
because it hits you in the back of the
throat. Yeah, Pepper Jack is good. I like that on burgers.
It's always good. That and fried egg.
Yes.
Oh, for burgers, yeah,
yeah.
You know, this is going to sound weird, but a good, like a, especially a smoked Gruyere on a hot dog. Okay. With some slices of jalapeno.
Ooh.
Primo. Say jalapeno.
Yes.
Jalapeno?
Yes. Either way is correct.
Fair enough.
But it's, you throw a hot dog on the grill and then a slice, just like a hot dog's width slice of a smoked Gruyere, and then drop some jalapeno on there. Lately I've been a big fan. I mean I'm a fan of sharp cheddar. It's interesting, as a kid you like sharp cheddar, because usually that's a,
my dad was a huge connoisseur. Like it was at least 2 to 3 times a week he would just sit at the couch and eat a block of cheese.
Oh, okay.
So I would, you know, I'm the kid, I would always be like, hey, can I have some?
Yeah.
And I became accustomed to, like, you would get like aged sharp cheddar. Ooh. He had one that was like 15 years old and it tasted like a salt block. That was
absolutely horrible.
there's a good timeline that it's actually sharp, but not too sharp.
Sharp.
And then it gets straight up salt.
Yeah.
It was driving in Wisconsin. I would stop off at the cheese shops and do cheese tastings. And it was like, ooh, cut right off the bricks and stuff.
Yeah. That's I've been up there, up through Madison or Wisconsin or Green Bay, up in the Door County. Yeah, spent a lot of time in Madison, but we'd stop at cheese places
along the way. They got them everywhere.
Yep,
we'll have to shit on that car ride.
These farts the whole way back.
Days before AC.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Roll those windows down and go.
Is it a Summerdale or something like that? It's not a, it's kind of like a mild cheddar-ish. Is it? But it's got like, I don't know if it's chive, green onion. There's something in there. So it's got this chive or green onion. I could eat a wheel of that.
Yeah.
Be content with life.
Yeah.
I remember it as pepper cheese, and I'm sure there's like a different name for it. It's not like, but it had, it's like it had pepper in it, and it had
like black pepper.
Black pepper. Yeah. And I would find that occasionally. And it was like a nice mix. You know, it's not something you'd think would normally have it, but I'm sure there's a correct name for it. I don't know, but I just would look for it and be like, and it had pepper in it. And that one was good.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I think part of like eating cheese up in Wisconsin or even picking stuff up in Chicago and stuff where I could get my hands on good cheese, mm-hmm. it's like store bought, nothing compares. So I go back to Colby Jack.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, that's the fail safe, works for cheese toasties or freaking, yeah. you know, throw on a hot dog or a piece of meat. It works on everything. Not too hot. I would probably do more Pepper Jack, but if the little man wants something, then he's doing it. Just, yeah. So.
Well, Velveeta.
Yeah. No, we're not we're talking cheese.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not
bad. Now, the best cheese ever, I just thought of this, and I only had it when I was a kid, and I don't know when they quit making it, was government cheese. You ever have that, Jimmy? It was it was no longer made. They you'd only get it in a big solid, like, 5-pound block. I remember getting them as a kid. They would be, we'd have cheese sandwiches and everything, but it was government cheese. It would be like a cheddar or something, but man, that stuff was good. Not sure if it was.
I don't really remember cheese. It, but it doesn't mean that you I didn't have it. It.
Yeah. It was, I remember it in the 70s. I'm sure I'd have to ask my mom. We may have had it in the 80s, but I definitely remember it like 70s, early 80s, eating government cheese.
That just sounds wrong on so many levels.
Back when that stuff was good.
Okay. All right. What mythical creature would improve the world most if it existed?
Dragons.
Who said they don't exist?
No, if they existed now.
Cool.
Right?
Sure. We can go with that.
I mean, as long as it takes out the right people, we're good, right? We'll be like
you get a choice who it takes out.
Yeah. Hey, wouldn't you want to fly a dragon around, go fight your battles riding on the back of a dragon?
I mean, I've seen Game of Thrones, so yeah, kind of.
Exactly. See.
Yeah.
I was thinking of like Pern or something, but you probably haven't read those books.
No.
No. That's the easy answer, though.
I was going to say, I was trying to go through them all in my head. I'm like, they all just would suck, honestly.
Unicorns? Then you can have unicorn farts.
I was going to say, unicorns from what mythology, though? Because some of them are kind of fucked up.
Most mythical are.
My Little Pony.
Yeah, there we go. Let's have those all over the place.
Yeah, but, you know. See, I think.
But you said, what was the question again?
What mythical creature
would improve the world most if it existed?
Improved. Dragons really, really wouldn't improve because it's going to destroy. You're the dragon rider.
Well, I was going to say, though, but isn't that.
In that case, Thanos.
Isn't that an improvement? I mean, potentially, but I'm thinking of what else. I mean, who would give a shit about like the Loch Ness Monster or the Bigfoot or
would it benefit from it?
But yeah, what like, creature would benefit? What I mean, leprechauns. Yeah. If you could catch them and get some,
a griffin, is that the?
Yeah,
those things are badass.
Yeah. I think it'd just be cool that.
Well, you know, I'm going to go back to dragons. If you go over more of like an Asian mythology that way, they would bring knowledge. You know, live a long time, lots of knowledge. You could say that for the griffin. What's the Egyptian?
Sphinx.
Yep, something like the Sphinx. You know, something that brought knowledge to. I think you'd almost have to go with something along like that.
I was going to say most of them just brought about destruction. So it's kind of,
overall, I mean,
yeah, Minotaurs. I'm trying to think of.
Well, they didn't really do anything. The Minotaur was just locked up. What do you really do?
Centaurs. Yeah. Centaurs are smart. Centaurs, they could bring bring knowledge. That would probably be one of your best ones.
Probably, yeah.
Bring a wealth. I mean, that's. I think you'd have to go along that lines of which ones could talk, or you know, the intel. You wouldn't want a dragon that's just a beast. You would want a dragon that could like talk to humans and have.
What was it, Smaug?
Yeah, Smaug for the Hobbit. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't he talk?
An evil dragon, though.
Yeah, but he talked.
He did.
You could converse with him. Maybe. You
could before he ate a
lot. Sounded a lot like Benedict Cumberbatch. Or, no, sorry. Smaug sounded a lot like Sherlock Holmes. I mean, or Doctor Strange. Or, yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other things too. Like, you know, what other mythical. Because while a Pegasus would be cool at the same time.
Yeah. I don't know if any real creatures would be helpful or beneficial.
I mean, they would have been pre technology. Like, if you could strike up a deal with the centaurs in war, I mean, you wouldn't lose.
Well, it usually would come down to how would you use them in war. At the end of the day, that's the... Yeah. You don't really want to hang out with the fairies. You know... I always... The two Tolutha, those were, you know...
But wasn't it Artemis Fowl? Is that fairies and some of that stuff?
Yeah, but yeah, most of them are. If you go off, most of them they're evil.
Yeah, I was gonna say most of them just stole shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was Artemis Fowl. They were bank robbers.
Yep.
Artemis Fowl. That movie's actually pretty decent.
I was gonna say, didn't they come out? You watch that?
Yeah,
these girls.
Yeah.
See, I read the books when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same, and they clearly, you know, and they talk about that, like, who is it, Dennis? Not Dennis. Is it Richard Branagh? Can't think of his Kenneth Branagh. He's a director. He's fantastic, and there's some, you know, kind of. Bonus features where they kind of talk about that they worked with the author and stuff, but it's like this isn't a one for one, but you know, how could we capture that sort of all of that idea? It'd be cool if they made another one just the way they ended the movie, but you know, the main characters are there and all that stuff, but it's like we had to do what we had to do because we're making a movie,
right?
So, you know, let's capture the essence of all of that stuff and work with that.
Now, if you change the question a little bit and went with mythical people, that might be more fun. You know, because then that would
you're talking about like races of people?
Yeah, you know, you add in giants, dwarves, and granted, we do have dwarves now, but not like full on. You got the hobbits, which... there were people that were the size of hobbits. Ogres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ogres, trolls. Start going along
elves,
those lines.
Dark elves.
Elves. Yep.
Why aren't those technically mythical creatures, though? Because they're not humans.
Humanoids, can they... It depends on
are
which
you trying to call
world.
An ogre a humanoid?
It depends on which...
this world.
Which world?
That's the world we're talking about.
No, but most of those exist in different realms or different. Yeah, like not
Klingon,
all
sand people, Jawas. I mean,
there you go. Yeah, it's all mythical.
Okay, so we're gonna move on.
Okay, this is a rabbit hole.
Is intelligence or wisdom more useful?
Ooh,
wisdom. because that means you've already lived through it. You can have all the intelligence in the world, read all the books, and still be an idiot.
I guess we kind of already touched on this then.
Then a little bit where, you know, wisdom, you've lived through it and you can turn around and pass that intelligence on.
I was going to say wisdom has intelligence. Intelligence doesn't always have wisdom.
Right. So actually talking with this about with the Rolling Rock brothers. So yeah, wisdom, you can be well, the one
too.
He's going deep.
See, I was going to ask a question, or I was thinking of a question to answer the question, actually. Like, well, who would you listen to? Would you listen to someone who's smart or somebody who's wise? Right? Like,
well, if you weren't wise, you'd probably listen to someone that was smart.
Well, and where I was going with that is somebody could tell you, like, you could know somebody's smart, somebody's a genius or whatever, and they could tell you X, Y, and Z, like whatever it is. But would you really listen to that counsel? Would you really listen to that advice just because they are smart? Or would you listen to the person who is wise, to your point, Nate, because they lived it, they went through it?
I was gonna say, there's an actual intelligence would probably tell you the facts, but somebody that has wisdom would probably tell you it in a story, so you would actually retain it a little bit better. Because yeah, the intelligence would be more cut and dry, and it'd be kind of boring. You wouldn't really listen to it because you're just like, okay. And then the wisdom, they would tell you a story and kind of explain every little bit of detail of actually what could happen or what would happen.
See,
I think of intelligence as book smart, and wisdom is more common sense. And there's a lot of carryover between the two. You got to have one for the other and the other for one. But at the same token, mechanics, you would see it. You'd get guys that could go in, memorize a book, pass a test, have all these certifications, and then they'd come in and wouldn't know how to fix a truck. They're certified. Oh, I'm a certified master tech.
Well, the book didn't tell you how that works.
I need you to do this. Well, I need a computer that tells me da 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 da, and I need to hook up. And I'm like, but you should just walk over here and check the fuses. You replace this burnt fuse, it makes the whole system work. You know, that to me is wisdom. And it's like, yeah, the practical knowledge. But again, hey, you know, like building a house. Well, I want the intelligence of an engineer to tell me how I should build this because I am not an engineer. You know, I could construct something, but is it going to stand the test of time? And I don't know.
But sometimes that intelligence tries to stretch it. And then while you're actually reading the blueprints, you're like, how the fuck? That won't even work. It's impossible because, you know, you've actually built the house.
Exactly.
You haven't looked at
the computer. Wisdom trumps it. So yes. I think it's where you're at on the spectrum of what you're trying to learn how to do.
It's for me. I just left. But isn't intelligence something that's more of a static thing? Like you're a genius or you're not. Like there's, you can't necessarily have like train somebody to become a genius. Mm. On the flip side, though, right? Is there any better teacher than wisdom? Because that only comes through actual experience. I mean, maybe I'm going to the same spot you were just at, Nate, in terms of book smarts versus like, even though you may not have that intelligence from a book, it could be innate, right? Like how many people are just smart enough? They don't even have to crack a book. They just understand whatever.
Well,
like I'm thinking of a guy I went to college with. He majored in economics. And for me, I had to spend time and effort to actually study it and learn it. But he never cracked a book. In fact, I would ask him questions and he would tell me and he just got it. Like it's And it's like, who the fuck?
I hate you.
The fuck are you? Yes. But at the same time, right, there is maybe, you know, so does the answer to the question depend on what I need the knowledge for?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
Because if I, you know, if I'm looking for, I don't know what I'd be like, but there's times where you'd want wisdom, like maybe in battle or in,
say, finance. Who do you really want to get knowledge from? The guy that's written books or read books and then written more books, or the guy that went out and made the money
and lost it and made it and lost it and made it and lost it?
Yeah. You know, there's somebody's two things there.
Trenches.
You know, this guy wrote it and watches the numbers and stuff, and he can tell you how it all works on paper. And then you can be like, well, let's put it to the test.
Well, he kind of didn't have any skin in the game.
Right.
So there's no real, you know, you can't really fail if you don't have any skin in the game kind of deal.
But you still need some intelligence to eventually gain the wisdom. You know, you got to be a certain... Not, a good example is, like, not everybody can put a rocket into space. You take someone like Elon Musk... He's top of the thing. He's willing to try and fail. And the older he gets, the more wisdom he has. But, you know, his first tries didn't work. But it started with intelligence, and then it turned into wisdom. So I think it has it there. But at the end of the day, I think wisdom still trumps intelligence.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, I'd certainly concur with that.
All right. All right, you're going to lose 2 inches off your junk or 12 inches off your height. Which one are you taking?
Off your height?
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm already short.
Do you have inches to spare?
See, I'll go down in height because then I wouldn't hit my head. And, that'd put me in a better range and my muscles would automatically look bigger.
Okay, at 5'1", I would fucking hope so.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd want to be 4'6".
My dick I'm would definitely look a lot bigger if I was 4'9".
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Like, if you keep, if mass is the same and you're just losing
height.
Dick to body ratio would be a lot better. I'm taking a foot off.
I'll be a shorter. I don't have a problem with that. I'll go with, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with being shorter.
You know,
and then my daughters, didn't want to do it.
My daughters would be taller than me.
Well, but the
family pictures would look weird.
Both of you would still be shorter than me.
It's true.
I'm telling my dick the body ratio would still be better, though.
Who wants to lose in that department?
I mean, it's only 2 inches.
Shit. At this point, I don't care. Sure.
You're going to get him to change his mind, CJ. You're getting him to change his mind. He's going to stay the same height.
Can't be shorter than I am. You know, it's one of those things. I wish I was taller. There's a time when I was a kid where I was just all kinds of pissed off that I was not taller than I am.
Reach to the choir.
Yeah. I have a son going through that issue. So, yeah.
And then you realize, you know what? It is what it is. And here I am. So,
yeah. Just think of all the stuff you haven't hit your head on.
Yeah. This is true. There's
yourself lucky,
and all the cars that you can't fit in easily.
Yeah,
yeah.
Don't have to worry about that. Don't have to.
Nope. Deadlift is easier.
Got long arms. That helps.
Closer to the ground.
Low center.
You only have to lift it a couple of inches.
Yeah, do have a low center of gravity. Yeah. Be good for wrestling and that. Those kinds of things.
So yeah. If
perfect fullback size.
I mean, you could get into the small wiener club then.
You'll it'll never hit the bottom. You don't have to worry about it.
Oh, geez, Louise.
Never hitting rock bottom. That's awesome. I love that question.
How I suffer.
So what are you taking, Jimmy? You haven't chose.
He's still thinking about it.
I'll keep the same height.
You keep the same height?
Really?
Yep. There you go. You got him to change his mind. He was leaning the other way.
I'll be a man.
Give me less of a man.
Can't be any less than I already am.
Oh, Jesus.
You'll still be girthy.
It's a round.
Think about it.
Oh, God. What's next?
I'm sorry, Snicker.
Son of a bitch.
All right. What is the biggest waste of human potential?
Are we talking to a specific person?
I mean, you can go with whatever you want.
No, what is the biggest waste of human potential?
I would say drug addiction. Hard drug like heroin. I would say that because a lot of some of the most talented people in the world have been heroin addicts because they try to escape life and they end up usually overdosing and they die. So a lot of potential has been wasted through heroin.
That's a good one. I can concur with that.
That and now fentanyl. Man. You're welcome.
You were thinking this one out. He already had it.
When
answer.
I saw this, I already knew what I was going to say because I have a huge problem with this one. I don't. I've seen it enough, though.
But then is it really the drug or is it the whatever trauma it was that's truly the waste of human potential?
Okay, I could.
Or is it the escape? I mean, maybe it's the escape of it. I know where you're going.
Well,
with
a lot
that.
Of people. Okay,
turn your mic.
From what I've seen, everybody that gets into heroin, it's been a lot of like painkillers because maybe they break their elbow and then they're prescribed painkillers. You know how long it takes to get addicted to painkillers? About a week.
Yeah.
About a week, and you have to. Whenever you get done with that prescription, you actually have to withdraw, and people can't handle that usually. But famous people want to escape being famous because think about it, you're under the spotlight continuously, so you do want to escape. Yes, I mean, I couldn't imagine being famous and being scrutinized for every shit I take. I mean, I can't say that I would be the same person if I was under that microscope.
Yeah. No, I see where you're going.
Man,
and that makes sense, but then is it, yeah, but is it as you're still trying to escape whatever that is, or
it's still a circle, but at the end, that's like the final straw. So, I would agree with that. That would be I'm trying to think of what a waste of human potential. Okay, go ahead, Jimmy.
Go ahead. I'm still
school. As in university. I think university, do we need university? Absolutely. Do we need the higher education? Yeah. But there is so many fluff classes. You know, if you're going to be an engineer, the only thing you really need is engineering. You don't need all this other crap to go along with it. And I think a whole lot is wasted on unneeded schooling. At least here in the States. I'll clarify. Here in the States, and I'm sure it is abroad, but I don't know those standards and stuff, so I can't talk there. But I think so much is wasted in time and effort.
So like in general schooling, like how you have to do every subject no matter what.
Exactly. You know, it's like, why do trade schools and tech schools do better? They teach you one thing and teach you to do it well.
And that's why you went there. because yeah. you know, we're going to do that.
So. Do that, and then you go into it. Where you go into a regular university, it's like, well, you can go in there and find yourself. But you still got to declare a major or a minor or something, and you bounce around and you're doing...
Finding yourself's going to cost you 20 grand a year.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of... Or you get a guy that's going in to be a doctor. Does he really, you know, does he really need, I don't know, some humanities class or know how poetry works or whatever? Yeah, it's good to be well-rounded, but at the same token, go read poetry on your own time to take a break.
They should learn how to sign their name legible.
Yeah. But I want you to go do doctor stuff or whatever thing you're going into, you know.
Like medical school.
Yeah.
You got to get past university.
Yeah.
So I think it should be, I mean, everything should go to like a trade school concept.
When you go to that certain school. So like everything should be as like more specific instead of broad.
Right. Why do you have to have all of this if you're going over into here? Now, if you're going to be a school teacher, okay, you're going to be teaching all these different subjects. All right. Now I can understand some variety there.
Okay. But that would totally go against what you're talking about.
No.
Then you'd be teaching things that are extremely broad.
No, like grade school.
So what?
Like a grade school teacher, like a fifth grade, fourth grade, teaching several subjects.
When would the cutoff be to go to specific things to learn?
Well, I think you should teach people
broad things. Like what's a grade that it should stop and go more specific?
Oh, 10th grade.
Think so?
Yep. I think it used to be that you could have a good job and be totally have everything by the time you finished 8th grade, hence 8th grade graduations. And then it moved to you had to go through high school to even get a job or whatever. And then it moved to you needed an associate's. They kept moving the bar where by the time you're done with 8th grade, you have a general knowledge of math, English, and everything else. It's general. And then I think 9th, 10th grade should be a variety of classes. Like you move up, and that's where you find yourself. By 9th, 10th grade, you should be sitting, you know, you're 14, 15, 16 years old, right in that age range. You should start having a direction you're going into. And then basically by the time you hit 11th, 12th, you should be like, okay, I got it narrowed it down to these two things. So you go into core classes, and by the time you hit the community college or university, you're dead on going, this is the path I'm going. I went through high school. What's that?
What if you want to be a professional athlete at that point?
I think you can move over and be like, okay, are you going into camps? You know, that would be a challenging. I don't know how to do the sports side of things. Me not being a very good sports person, I am not the person to figure out how to incorporate that in there. But yeah, I think a lot of classes, a lot of hours are wasted on people that don't need anything.
And there's more time that kids are fighting against the system because they don't give a shit. I mean, that was what I did.
Right.
Yeah, you're just... It's either bare minimum, get by, or trying to get around. How can you not do it?
Here's one. And to add in on this, what would you say, Jimmy, for on the musical side of thing? Is say a kid picks it up in the sixth grade. By the 10th grade, are you going to know if he's a professional musician or not? I mean, is the work ethic there, the hours putting in, or do they have a chance? And then if they really want to, say by the time they're 18, go, I want to be a professional. I want to go play in a symphony and be professional. And then you go to a school that the only thing you do is play music. How much better would your whole life revolves around playing the violin or playing the piano or playing the drum? You don't go and have all this other BS that you have to learn to go be a musician. Your whole life revolves around music and being a musician. How much better would they be going down that course?
Yeah. And they even have, I know there's, there's things, programs like that, that, what are they called? It's not associates, like an artist diploma. And really all that is exactly what you're talking about. It's like trade school for musicians. And I know for sure they run, the ones I'm aware of run it like a 2-year program. I'm sure it could be a year or it could be more than two, but the whole idea is the whole time you're practicing, you're studying with somebody in, because there's in music, especially classical and some of that stuff, but even there's, it sounds, it's going to sound weird, but there's like a lineage, right? Who you study with. It's kind of like an apprenticeship, but who you apprentice with matters and who they apprenticed with
matters. Exactly.
Right. And there's a lineage there. That's who the
symphonies are going to pick up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, you were of this school. So then it's kind of a, there's sort of a it's like, oh, you followed Conan the Barbarian. It's like, oh, we know what he's about. We know what Caesar's about. We know what Alexander the Great was like. So if you're any of those lines, then that matters. But then the other side of it is that you're in ensembles, you're working. There are certain other things too that you need, you know, music theory, et cetera. Right. But it
still revolves around music, but it's like, you know, who has a better chance of being in a symphony or something as a sax player? Someone going through this, tapping into lineage program, or the guy that did the marching band thing through university and he got a scholarship at no name college?
Yeah. No, you definitely.
And they both want to be a musician. It's just, this is the route to get there quick.
Well, it's like all things. It's like, even so you broaden out, it's not just music, right? There are certain schools that you go to. Music wise, Juilliard, most people know Juilliard as a school. You know, it's from the movie Fame and the TV show and all that stuff. But the Berklee School of Music, there's a couple others that I'm drawing a complete blank on. But just like Harvard or Yale means Stanford, like those things, those MIT, those schools mean something, you know, just coming from there. Oh, you went to Harvard Law. That's exactly. That means a thing, not over. I mean, I think in some ways, some of that's getting clouded by, it's just, you know, it's the brand, right. What that truly meant is more myth than reality. But I think it's stuff like that. So yeah, I see where you're going, where you go to these schools for these things and focus on that thing
almost more rather like than a having a broad. Setup.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a guild set up for education. Okay, now it's not just apprentice master, but at the same token, it's like, if you want to go into this, this is the guild you go into to learn this. Here's your school of education. You know, you want to be mechanics. I ended up I got a certificate in mechanics instead of a degree. Why? Because I went to just a trade school because all I did was learn mechanics. At the time, I didn't care about psychology and English and yeah, I could have used a little math, but you know, all this other stuff, it's like, all I wanted it to be is a mechanic. So I went to a school that taught me mechanics, and then I could ignore all the other stuff. I didn't need to be, mechanic doesn't need to know the Canterbury Tales. Granted, I like the Canterbury Tales.
So do I.
I read it, but at the same token, you know, that's a pastime or a hobby. I don't, the Canterbury Tales and knowing what a protagonist and an antagonist and all the other stuff that goes along with the novel has nothing to pertain with mechanics. So pretty that's righteous, a waste of human potential of my time.
Yeah, I buy that. I was thinking, you know, I don't know how to couch this or how to say this, but there's sort of like an acceptance of or a comfort with mediocrity. Like there's and we're all kind of, we can all fall into this, and it's something everywhere, right? It's like, I could work out, but you know what? I'm all right. I'm okay. Or I like eating pizzas and you know, or whatever. I could, you know, maybe I should get a different job or start my own business or do my own thing because I'd like freedom. But you know what? My paycheck's pretty good right now. And I don't need to climb the ladder for whatever reasons. This is good enough. It's just good enough where you're like, yeah, it's not that bad. I can do whatever, but it's not, there's a complacency. Maybe that's what it is. Wherever we're at, we kind of become complacent. That doesn't mean in every single area of your life you need to be like reaching for the highest end of the highest end, be the best of the best kind of thing. But at the same time, there's a general complacency that we have. And I think, you know, where you end up Netflix and chilling for a week or whatever it is, you know, like it's not a week, but you know, you do that one night and then one night becomes two and two becomes four, four becomes eight, eight becomes, you know, and it's exponential in that way.
And then a year goes by.
Yeah.
And boom, and
I'm good enough here. I'm okay enough in this area. And even if you were striving to achieve it, right, there's a point at which, oh, hey, now I'm making X and now I have money, like a little bit more money. And so now I'm not worrying about, you know, I'm in a spot where I'm not worrying about whether I'm not or not I'm going to be able to eat. It's like I got that covered. Plus I can go out. Plus I could travel. Plus I could, so I can afford, like there's a point where we all become complacent in relationship in and collectively, I think, right? That ends up wasting a lot of our potential because we end up settling for where we're at. And there's a comfort zone we work out of. Even as we achieve different things in life, then that becomes part of our comfort zone or it expands our comfort zone. And anytime we try pushing away from it, we kind of want to go, there's something about being in that comfort, like we are built for to go back there. Not the path really, of but least there's
resistance.
Yeah. There's still a comfort where you kind of settle in. And it's like, oh, okay. Whoo. I can like you get stuck in the enjoying and then life moves past you. Then something happens and causes you to have to adjust, whether you have a stroke or you get a divorce. Or you lose your house, like a fire, you know, or there's an accident, you get in an accident and you either get injured or you lose a vehicle. There's something that shakes you up, but we'd rather go back to this comfort complacent spot. So I think that's rolling around. I agree with both of the things that you said. Those are certainly some powerful demotivate or, you know, reasons to not, but that's something that's been on my mind is just that acceptance of mediocrity or complacency.
Okay. Did we actually answer the question correctly?
Is there a correct answer?
No, it says, what is the biggest waste of human potential? And we all pick things. I don't know. I almost think
Jimmy's all together.
I think Jimmy's is almost more dead on though.
Yeah.
Because that's human potential that isn't being utilized. Like they can make the next greatest thing, but they're like, I'm comfortable, so I'm not doing anything. Where ours are causes of. Because, you know, drugs in general or whatever causes there to be a waste of human potential. So it's a cause of and not.
I mean, it's also seeking comfort.
It is. It's taking the easy way out.
It's a different way.
It's back to Jimmy's, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's more of, I mean, all of them together. If you took all three of these out of the human existence, we would be so far past where we are right now. Holy shit.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's just, it's like we're in maybe not worldwide, but stateswide. You know, we've been in a law for a number of years. You know, there's not been really any big innovations. We're not, tech keeps expanding and doubling and tripling and everything. But really, what's it doing? It's fine tuning or adding to what we've already figured out.
Just distracting more and more.
Yeah, it's just there's not been any big new things. You know, it's not like the industrial age of discovery. It's not, you know, there's not what's the next big thing. And you could even go and be like, well, how about Elon Musk? Okay, but he's South African that moved here. You know, you got brainiacs that have moved here or other places. It's like, I think there's a mediocrity is a big thing here in the States. You know, it's just, okay, these guys are making money. We're consumers. How do you make more consumer goods? How do you do it cheaper? It's like the innovation was, how can we make something so cheap and make the biggest buck off of it?
Yeah, and too, how much does that, some of that technology from a social media perspective? And I know you read, what's that book? Trust Me, I'm Lying by yes. Ryan Holiday. Uh-huh. So there's that aspect too, where you know narrative is manufactured. It, and so maybe not 100% of the time, every single place that you're taking in media of any kind or whatever it is, but there is a not curated in the sense that, right, based on our viewing history of YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, right, it's going to feed you things based on that, or you know, your Google searches or all that stuff, right? Then you're, there's an experience that's curated for you, tailored to you based on what you consume, right? And then you realize that part of that is truly manufactured to get you to move one way or another.
Right.
Then you throw that on top of that too. And how much does that sort of end up
leading back to the mediocrity?
Yeah, that we kind of are fed that sort of thing. And unless you sort of moderate that yourself, or whether it's deleting right. those things, or, you know what, I'm not going to look at that stuff until, cause I'm busy or whatever. But how many make a conscious choice about some of that stuff versus stuff. Just I'm on the shitter and I'm scrolling through Facebook and wasting human potential. Literally.
Jesus.
Right down the drain.
In another cause, which I think pushes it back to mediocrity in the comfort zone, is debt and credit. Because if you don't have to work for something, you can just go out and buy it on credit and I'll pay it off someday. It's like it leads to the, oh, it's easy. And that's leads into the socialism sides of things. It's like people, oh, the government's just going to give it to me. So if they give me this, then I can turn around and get this on credit, and then they'll kick me back this, and it feeds that mediocrity. It's like, you know, the mediocrity feeds off itself instead of going, well, how do I get out of this? Yeah. How do I beat this? How do I work to get what I want? And at the end of the day, not have like the debt chains wrapped around your neck going, you have to work this job to pay these bills to do this, you know, or you have to work a 40-hour work week, 50 weeks out of the year.
Well, and I was just thinking about that, like, you know, how much of that is, right, there's an idea of that, just that thing, we need to do that, we need to work those hours and make this salary, whether it's six figures, it could be less than six figures, but I'm thinking, you know, how often are we striving for a high number,
right,
when the reality is maybe you don't need that much. Like you, if you're going for a more nomadic lifestyle, like, what do you really need to own? What do you really need to have? If you're living in Costa Rica, really, you don't need to be making, or there's places yeah. where you don't need to be making 70, 80, 90, 100,000 or more a year. 40 is good.
Or think of
the equivalent of that goals. Is good.
Or, yeah, yeah. Or why is a one person living in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house?
because, you know, I'm divorced and I got left with the house.
I was going to say, I have one bathroom.
Is that really what this is about? I see. No. Shots. Your points. Yeah. I totally understand, you know, where you're going.
People go out. I need to go out and buy a house. Yeah. Why? Well, I'm going to put a family and build it together and da 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 da.
Okay. Well,
a personal shot towards me now.
Chico, I was dating, she's single and has a little Yorkshire Terrier and has a house that's bigger than mine.
Well, but think
costs
think
twice about, as much as mine.
But you
good,
add that
good
up.
Person to date, but why do you need that place?
Place.
Why?
Well, and that's what they feed you back to the consumerism and everything else. You need this big house. You need this. You need these cars. You need the newest, latest, greatest, everything that feeds. And here. Oh, yeah, just sign here and we'll spread it over 30 years. Or, we'll spread, you know, cars used to only go 5 years max. Now they're going 7.5 years.
Yeah. I saw something not too long ago with like car payments. The average car payment is like $500 or $600, some ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the average is 7 years. Yeah, it's huge. It's like six something, 565 or 656.
These are people that are getting like $60,000 vehicles for no fucking reason.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. In size thing or, you know, and you start looking at this and it's like, well, that all ties you down to keeping you in the rat race. To go, and it's like, well, I would like more time to travel, but I gotta work. I only get 10 shit. Days. Yeah, I gotta, and I only get 10 days a year that I gotta manage. It's,
you know, but
it goes back to your mediocrity. This leads back to that. I'm making this much, and I can manage this much debt to credit ratio, and they're not really free because the credit's gotcha and the mortgages and loans gotcha. So you have to work and do this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Like there's people I know that live in the Republic of California and it's like,
is it really a republic? Is that the correct term? I mean, I use it too, but it's not, it doesn't it's, Republic
like
mean
Star Wars free? Talk.
Notice I didn't say it was a representative republic. I just said republic.
Public, gotcha. Okay.
But you know, they live in Laguna, they have jobs and have an income. Anywhere else, they would be living hot, like not just high on the hog, like legit high-end life almost anywhere else, but in the state of California they're drowning,
right?
Like they're barely making ends meet between now. Granted, they live in Laguna Beach.
Exactly,
which isn't cheap to begin with. You know, and cars and homes and everything, like, so just that off the top, you're left with next to nothing over and above whatever state taxes and all that hoo-ha. But
wouldn't it be that makes communist sense. State of California?
Yeah.
Wouldn't mostly. That be? I had to look up Republic so I didn't screw it up. Its power is held by the people.
Oh.
And the elected representatives.
Then so, that is.
Yeah. I don't want. Yeah.
The Union of Soviet Socialist Californians.
I like that.
I can go with that.
All the Californians are like, on one hand, they're all butthurt at the moment, but on the other hand, they know we're right.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I have
Illinois not far behind.
Oh no, family. We're right up there with them. It's yeah. I think it's New York, Illinois, and California fighting for first place.
But going
bottom
back,
end.
Yeah, yeah. But going back to what you're saying, Nate, one thing that one thought occurred to me, you know, and you and I had a conversation about this prior to this about, in some ways though, those are the artifacts. That's the costume jewelry of success or, life. I mean, we were talking about it in a slightly different context, but I think it still applies here too. There's either you're either really successful or you have the appearance of it. Those two things, those two aren't necessarily the same.
Right.
Like, you can have a house and a car and all that stuff and not be able to afford it. Then what the fuck, are you really successful? Or is that really, if you don't have freedom to do what you want because you're tied down or whatever, maybe you have a nice car, maybe you have just a nice house, maybe you have a nice clothes, or maybe you're able to travel wherever the hell you want. Maybe you have all of those things, but if you can do all of those things, and because you choose to, right, great. But if you do those things because you think you need to, you know, how often do we confuse that with status? And so it's like, I need to have this thing. I need to have a Range Rover. I need to have a 4,000 square foot house or whatever it is.
You know, how many people go, well, yeah, I have to work and so does my wife.
Yes.
You know, back to the days of, yeah, I can pay for everything. And then I still get time off. You know, they kept moving the bar on what with inflation and it's a deep rabbit hole, but pay scales haven't gone up in years. That's what everyone doesn't seem to. I mean, I think trades noticed it first, but the average tradesman today is getting the same pay scale that they were 20 years ago or 30 years ago now. So when you compare the pay scales then to now and what the devaluation of the dollar and everything is, you know, it works out to that a lot of tradesmen make less than what our guys did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So doing the same job, and it's like, well, you know, it used to be a tradesman could provide for his family easily. Not even working hard, just easily provide for a family. And now it's like he's working, the wife's working, and they're getting government aid. Yeah. So it's back to that mediocrity. I had never really thought about it. It's people got comfortable with managing debt.
Yeah, I think. Right. We get like, yeah, I wish I was. How often do we say, I wish I should pay off my debt. And maybe you make some strides towards that. But then it's like, man, okay, this is low enough. Now I'm going to go buy this thing. Because the Super Bowl is coming up and I need to buy a new TV. And sure, or I got my Trump bucks and magically Walmart has TVs on sale for the same amount as my Trump bucks. I mean, and who has, I mean, but at the same time, who hasn't thought that in the, at least once in their life, if not more? It's like, oh yeah, I would like that. I need that. I should have that. Whatever lie you want to tell yourself to justify the thing. There are certainly things that we need to purchase and need to buy, computers. Like there's a certain level of stuff that you may need to have to, you know, do your job or to live or whatever. Especially in an era of, regardless of what you think of COVID, in an era where people are scared to, you know, so there's working from home and there's school from home. There's maybe some other purchases that you wouldn't otherwise, or investments you wouldn't think of making that you kind of should make. But at the same time, we still get trapped by that and we get comfortable with any of that. That's really the, and we accept it. Like we accept our own yokes, our own anchors that to weigh ourselves down. Ooh, somebody in the comments, write that down. That's deep. Somebody should be super chatting that first. put that up. Because I just said that. Like, this is the value we provide on barbaric banter.
That's a tongue twister.
Yeah. But yeah, how often do we do that? So, I you know, it all ties together and how. Now I'm going to have to reevaluate. reevaluate some things in my own life. Like it's,
you're going to reevaluate your entire life and where you're at in the existence now.
In some ways.
Thanks, right? CJ. Like how a simple question turns into Jimmy now reevaluating his life.
Man, that's what these are for, though. Man, everybody's learning something. We're learning something as we go. Okay. That's the best part about these.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, how much of this is sort of thinking out loud.
Yep. Lots of thinking out loud.
I just blew my own mind.
It's the best blowjob I've had all week.
Yeah, I almost went there. But I mean, last podcast, we ended on chocolate buttholes. So it's like, I thought, I won't go there. Let's just keep it.
Not going to happen. We were already talking about my oiled up balls. So.
Yeah, I guess that's
fine. Started off with balls.
And really at this point, you know, what, like it's not like we're going to be offending any sponsors.
No, not at all.
Sorry, Barbaric
Soap. If chocolate would like
no apologies.
Chocolate buttholes would like to be a sponsor. What's up?
Oh, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Someone would reach out. Hey, we make these. Would you guys do an ad for them? Oh, we'll do a 30-minute one. I'm sure. Yeah. We
can. My dream come true.
True, yes.
How did they know?
Oh.
Go ahead, guys. Roast us in the comments.
There we go.
We appreciate it.
Oh, this has been fun. Oh, man.
Oh, and here's a $0 super chat from no one. Thanks.
Thank you, no one. No
one. Oh, and here's another one from no who one. Cares?
No one cares.
Thanks for the $0 super chat. Oh, and then one other one coming up. Why are you still here?
And with that, thank you, ladies, gentlemen, and everybody in between. Have a good one.
Yep. Have a good
later.
One. Oh. Oh.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. I hope it's given you something to think about in your own quest to develop a barbarian mindset. Because it's with this mindset that you'll find the skills, strength, attitude, will, and endurance to see things through and live within the civilization and still be a barbarian. We appreciate your feedback. We especially appreciate those who have been supporting the podcast. That's the Barbarian Rhetoric Podcast. On our website, on Anchor FM, and on Spotify. You can find the show notes on the blog or anchor.fm/barbarianrhetoric. If the podcast has been helpful to you, please let us know. You can do this by checking into the Apple Podcast app, give us 5 stars, and leaving us a short review. This will help us get our message out in front of many more people. You can also talk to us on social media and let us know what you are thinking about or how this has helped you. On Twitter, I am at SteelJanz. That's STEELJANZ. And I'm also on Instagram at Barbarian Rhetoric. There's also a couple other things you need to check out. One is the Barbarian Rhetoric blog. And of course, our newsletter. There's a pop-up which you'll see as soon as you land on the blog. Thanks for listening. And always remember to be a barbarian in a civilized world. An apex predator.